Soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings from the island of Kauai. Just a reminder that March 1st is the cutoff date for your reservations to the March seminar, the April seminar. That gives you about a month and a half to mail in your reservation. We have a very beautiful convention hall with very comfortable and airy rooms and a special pool for your enjoyment. Lots of facilities, including a modern gymnasium. It's all very beautiful, and I'm sure you'll be delighted with it. A problem that you may have felt is that Christ teaches, take no thought for your life. Again, you find in the teaching another statement. At the same time, you are asked to take no thought. You are told, I am the Father, and you are one. I and you, I the Father, and you the Son, are one. I in the midst of you am mighty. Creation is greater than the human self. Greater is He that is within you than He that is in the world. There are many other truths that you are supposed to remember. And I call this to your attention so that when the call comes for help, when you're faced with a child who has leukemia, or an adult stricken with paralysis, there is a tendency to think the truths that you know, which is the exact opposite of take no thought. You may find this very confusing. And so it's important to learn how to face the situation with a clear channel. The answer is really very simple. To resolve the apparent contradiction, the solution lies in a matter of sequence. You don't take no thought and try to remember these laws at the same time. And as you can't go right into take no thought, you simply remember the situations, remember the phrases, remember all the truth that you know very briefly. You're taking thought consciously, but it's getting you in the atmosphere of spirit, is preparing you to listen to Christ within, to feel that you and God really are one, to know that there is something in me that is greater than everything in this world. And when you do that again and again, when they're called about a child or an adult stricken or in some way needing your help, then these truths are in you. They're known. You deal with them every day. Then you approach the situation with no thought. But if you have to stop, and if you have to reach out, and if you have to dwell, abide, saturate your consciousness with the knowledge of God's presence and no other presence, then do it and face the situation with total no thought after you do it. I hope that clears it up so you're not in a position of feeling, well, how can I take no thought when I need to take thought to know these things. That has always bothered the student, and I hope you know now that what you do is bring God to the situation and then get quiet and let God do the work. You're going to become a master of taking no thought. So you're going to become what you automatically do. In fact, you start to take no thought the minute the patient starts to tell you what's wrong. Joel tells a story of a man who was going with his family on a weekend vacation. And he got up early one morning, the day of the trip, and he started to pray. Oh, Father, keep the weather good. Keep those drunken drivers off the road. That sort of thing. And he just went about it very thoroughly for quite a while until he felt real satisfied. And the next thing you know, the entire family woke up in a hospital. His divine protection was not there, and he had taken the trouble to arise before dawn, appeal to God, ask for all the things they needed for comfort on the trip and for safety. What was he doing in a hospital? It seems that the various things he had mentioned were the things that had tripped him up. He had no idea that he was violating divine law. No idea. He had prepared the way for the very accident that he had tried to avoid. Now, how did he do that? In his mind, every member of his family was separated from God. What he wanted was oneness. But they were all separated. And their will was separated from God. And their bodies were separated from God. And his mind was separated from God. All the alcoholics had a life separated from God, and a body separated from God, and a mind separated from God. He wanted God, the higher power, to overcome and protect him from the lower power. And that sounded exceptionally reasonable to him. But he was living in a world of matter, of images. He had created with a bad power that he had created. And he experienced exactly what he believed. Many trusting souls think God will prevent and protect them from every evil. And when it doesn't happen, they're confused. Somehow they feel that God let them down, you know. Why didn't God do these things? I mean, I took the trouble to speak to God. But really, they let God down. They violated divine law. They acknowledged separation from God. And it hit them almost instantly. They acknowledge a God who does not exist. A God who permits alcoholics on in his kingdom. A God who makes good vacation weather and bad vacation weather. And he had immersed himself in an entirely foreign situation, a situation which left him vulnerable. Now you can see that such a person has not even a vague idea of the kingdom and who God is. Acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy path. Acknowledge that the God you speak of so glibly is also your life, and that I and my Father are one life. Let's awake that power of our life and let it work by knowing it is within you. Because the life that we enjoy as humans is our sense of life. But the individual life, the real life, the life that is every man's birthright, acknowledge that eternal life. Not only in yourself, but in every man. The life that is perfection. Everyone in the world embodies that life. And everyone in the world must be included. Not in your prayer, but in your basic knowledge. Invisible God life governs this world. Unchanging, perfect, forever. Now let's suppose you go to an astrologer. Or a clairvoyant, and you get a reading, and the astrologer tells you that in 8 months there will be a tragedy in your life that will change it completely. That gets into your brain. It haunts you. It affects your work. It affects the things you do. It invades your thoughts. 7 months, 6 months, 5 months. What are you going to do about that prediction? This astrologer was not just an ordinary astrologer. He was the same one used by the president. The same one that Nancy went to. This astrologer knows her business. And you've got a big bundle of fear. You're losing weight. Your work really suffers. And as your problems pyramid, you can't get a grip on yourself because you're 3 months away from a tragedy. But you see, you're just like the fellow who prayed one morning for that vacation. You're not acknowledging that God is your life. Can there be a tragedy in God's life? Have I been giving power to another power than God? Is my mind denying that God is the only power? I have been violating divine law. Now let's sum it up. When your mind prays to God for attention, you're not praying to God's mind. When your mind accepts a strange power and strange possibilities, you're preparing for a real tragedy. And God hasn't prepared one for you. This is not the mind of God. But there is only one mind. What have you been using to think with? Does the mind of God fear? Does that tell you something about your mind? Is it your real mind? Is that why it fears? Is that why it believes in a life separate, apart from God? A life that can be destroyed and unprotected against evils that do not exist? That's why it believes that patients can come to you with pains, diseases, conditions. And it is not so. Every patient who comes to you has relief in his false mind. Relieve me of this problem. Your job is to know two things. They're the most important truths that a healer must know. One, your patient is God. Two, your patient is perfect because God is perfect. Now that's your entire healing practice. You have the patient who is always God invisible. You must look at him, her. You must know that this is God. The problem is not there. Now that's simple to say. Later it's simple to do. It's got to become simple to do. Because you've got to see the truth. You don't have to heal that patient. You have to sit there. You have to refuse to be hypnotized. That's what you must do. Look at every patient and refuse to be hypnotized. But that's not all. Into the belief that he is imperfect, you must inject the idea that God made him perfect, keeps him perfect, and and all this perfection is invisible. Now, how are you going to get that perfection out into the visible? First, know it's there. That patient is God. Until you have no fear, absolutely none, the patient is made in the image and likeness of God. He is hypnotized. I shall not be hypnotized by the appearance. I am standing fast in the conviction, not believing my eyes or ears. And when I am no longer hypnotized, neither will the patient be. Let's hold that. Let's hold that in our consciousness until it is the only thought we have. And even let that thought go. Now your trust is total. He came to me, he thought he had this and that and the other thing. I said not a word, but I listened, and I know that he is God. I know that he is God. And right here in my consciousness, the hypnotism stops. I don't expect him to jump up, do a 100-yard dash, or his bad heart to start being a wonderful heart. He is God, and my function is to restore him to himself, to bring him the experience of God. Now, a girl phones from Annapolis. She has a kidney infection. She calls back in 1 month to you and says it's better. The kidney seems to be healed. But she has a friend. And a friend had something quite similar. A friend went to a psychologist. And it came back to her friend later with increasing pain. Now, she's free of in herself, will it come back? And you sit there and you think, well, if she gets back into the stream of thought with the world, it certainly can come back. But she doesn't know that. How can I tell her that there's a difference between spiritual healing and psychological healing? There's a difference in range and a difference in depth. Christ healing activates your soul. Psychological healing works on the mind level. The soul level is God ordained. The mind level has absolutely nothing to do with God. Psychological healing is based upon the premise that a wrong-thinking individual causes his own physical problem, and that a right-thinking mind can correct a wrong-thinking mind and thus eliminate the problem. For a time, this seems to work, but there is a universal belief in the world, and it will eat at the patient, and the patient's belief system will incorporate that universal belief. And subliminally, it will embed itself in that patient. And while a patient thinks he is cured, something will happen inside. To return again, if that patient is still in the mind. Spiritual healing does not rely on the human mind. That's one human mind healing another human mind. But every Bible healing, there's not one, is spiritual. Jesus knew that he stood on holy ground. He dwelled in the secret place of the Most High. He had divine healings because he obeyed perfect divine will. And we must do the same. To Jesus, every so-called patient was God invisible. Therefore, perfect. Did Did Jesus care about the right thinking of an individual? Do you see that? Or the wrong thinking? He knew that no one is apart from God. He knew there is only one cause. He saw everyone standing on holy ground. He did not deal with the human. His job, our job, if we accept ourselves as healers, is not to change a bad kidney for a good kidney by right thinking. But to bring to everyone the experience of God's grace. It's the very opposite of correcting the supposed error. Christ healing, true Christ healing, is the recognition of God's perfection. It has none of the artificial trappings that we mistake for technique. There's no laying on of hands. There's no willpower. There's no right thinking. There's nothing for the patient to do but recover from what he did not have, and to stop denying his birthright as the Son of God. Christ went through the Holy Land breaking hypnosis, and that is what we are striving to do, to break hypnosis. The only thing we need is the consent of the patient to do it. And then he can be in China. He can be in India. He can be in the hospital. All we need is his consent to break the hypnosis. And we can do it from any part of the world. We will bring him the light, which is already in him. We will bring it to the light. To pray without ceasing is the holiest prayer on earth. Lord, let me be an instrument of thy light. Let me be a bearer of good tidings. Let me see thy light in the darkness. In the darkest corners of the earth, in every heart, in every home, in every soul, Let the light that is man shine forth until the earth is transformed to heaven. Until your creation shines forth with the power and the glory of thyself forever. We have been saying God is all. Then no person has ever died. When you realize that no one is sick or dying, then you really believe that God is all. And you're really abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Your successful work, healing people, depends on this truth. Not only that, but your own divine immunity depends on this truth. No one ever dies. No one can ever die, because God is all. And with that truth, you can learn to face every situation with courage, with confidence, and triumph and survive. When you know that truth, you have broken the prison of the mind. You have discovered that birth and death are the same fiction. Of the mind that violates God law. That the beginning and the end represent a false drama. Because God is the identity of everyone, every form. And when the image of form vanishes, God is still there. Mortality is gone. And the one immortal, invisible, indestructible Christ is there. That is why the place on which you stand is holy ground. We can't tell this to the world, to our patient, but when we realize it and bring the knowledge to our healing work, we are without fear, without division, and the confidence we feel reflects itself in the quality of our work. You complete this truth with all the implications it brings to mind. You will learn much more because truth has a way of revealing more truth. So don't be afraid of truth. It will lead you deeper, deeper, deeper until you are catching a glimpse of your kingdom.